Hello and welcome to Como Sostas. It is November 9th. It's 12:24. I am more tired than I thought I would be at this point, but that's kind of my own fault. We're here, we've made it to Mexico City in one piece. I'm here with Rob Viper.
Hello, everybody.
We've only seen, when was the last podcast we did? I don't even know, you probably know better. We talked about the both shows in Monterey. So the only show we've seen since then is the show in Katara.
We did the podcast with Fredo, which was a bunch of nothingness.
Yes.
That was about it. Then the night before, we did the Monterey one. So we did the one with Fredo, we just recapped.
That one was so good, I've already forgotten it. Sorry, Fredo.
We had no show to cover, so there was no reason to do one the other day. Well, we did. We went to Querétaro, but we didn't have time to do a podcast afterwards. So we're going to cover that on this show now and preview tomorrow.
Yeah. So we went from Mexico City, we went from Monterey, took a flight to Querétaro.
9 a.m. On Monday morning, no, Tuesday morning, because it was the same day as the show.
Yeah. And it just so happened that half the Crash roster was on that bus.
Yeah, we didn't even, we found out the night before, actually.
On that plane. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we found out the night before, actually, because we were hanging out with some guys, and we just happened to mention when we're leaving, and somebody said, "Oh, I'm leaving like 45 minutes before that," and somebody else said, "Oh, I'm leaving actually same time as you guys," and we figured out, "Oh, we're both on Volaris, so it must be the exact same flight." And so when we went to the airport, we only saw one person, which was Sammy Guevara.
Yes.
So we hung out with him, but
we annoyed him.
Yes.
Not as much as those air hockey pals annoyed him.
Right. He deserves it. He's kind of a prick. And then we went to the line to get onto the plane, yes. Which, like idiots, we assumed would be on time, but it's on Mexican time.
Yeah.
So when there was time to board, they were actually just deboarding from the previous flight. Mm. And it just so happens that the rest of the Crash roster pulled up and was hanging out there. We saw basically everybody, right?
Well, everyone who made it on time. One person took an earlier flight. A few other people ended up taking a later flight, and I never understood why, but I don't think I needed to understand why.
But most of the roster was on our flight.
Yeah.
And we eventually took off at, I think it was only like half an hour late, but
yeah,
they got us there in plenty of time, so it was no problem at all. And we just, so we
really... It's a pretty quick flight from Mexico City to Monterey.
Yeah, it was like, I mean, I fell asleep, but I think it was only like just over an hour, maybe less. We landed and we realized we're going to Querétaro.
Yeah.
They're going to Querétaro and they have a bus.
And we're all standing around luggage claim with nothing better to do than ask questions.
Right. So we figured, why not? We'll just casually ask if it's cool if we can like tag along with them. Because it just made sense. We're going there. They're going there. Why would we pay like, I think it was like 380 pesos, which is the equivalent of 40 bucks or something?
Yeah.
Just to get us out there from
the... No, it's 20 bucks, actually. It's 19 pesos to a dollar now.
That can't be right.
That's right.
19 pesos?
19 pesos.
Wow. So...
Every time we... Yeah. There's currency exchanges all over the place. They have the number right there, but what the bot... How much it bought for each way.
Oh, okay.
Anyways.
I don't pay attention to the minor details. I just say how much I need. They charge me. I take the money.
Yeah.
The point is, instead of spending our own money to get there, we could just go on their bus because they had a tour bus with them and they were nice enough to agree.
I'm blatantly realizing I should have used that conversion to my advantage somehow on you.
You still have 4 days to do that.
Yeah.
We casually asked. They said yes, which was very nice of them. And of course, we're thankful for that.
And we offered to pay, but they...
Yeah, they turned us down, so... That was cool, and we got on a bus. The bus ride actually took a while, but that's because we stopped to eat and everything, so it turned... But it was a fun journey, I mean, hanging out, just talking with people. It's cool, rather than being on a bus with two gringos alone with a bunch of Mexicans and just sitting in silence, as our ride was today.
Yeah.
And we made it to Querétaro. The rest of the roster got there in time for the meet and greet. We ended up leaving to go check into our hotel because we were going to stay there for the night.
Yeah.
Which was a really nice... I thought it was a nice hotel. Very small, right?
It's very small. It's almost too small because every room was kind of ringed around the lobby. So when people came in and started talking, you could hear them from whatever room you were in.
Mm-hmm.
But the rooms were really nice. Were the best, the nicest looking rooms we've been in.
Yeah, super, super nice room. It's like a old vintage inn, I guess.
Yeah.
That they've turned into a hotel where they can keep people. I think Cubs said there were like 16 rooms.
Yeah. And they modernize the rooms while keeping like the old setup.
Right. Like I was freaked out by there was definitely a water pressure issue there. You would turn on the faucet and it would work for a second, then it would start like spewing water at you. So you had to turn it off and restart it. But that's the old school charm of it.
You'll have to listen to our hotel review podcast to learn more about what we liked and didn't like about this hotel.
I know. But one of the things when we were looking into it, I remember I was reading the reviews and somebody said I didn't like it because the doors were glass and you couldn't cover up the door so people could just look into your room. Okay. And I thought about that when we got there, but then we realized there are like actual things you can pull in front of those to cover up the door. So I'm guessing that whoever these people were that left the review didn't realize you could actually do that, which seems weird because why would a hotel just have anybody like just walk by and stare into your room? That seems like the dumbest thing ever. But overall, it was a good experience. We had no problem. They were helpful at the front desk. There was actually, this was the part of the trip that I was the most worried about because we were going to be in a city that we've only been in once before and we were literally only there for a wrestling show.
Yeah.
We showed up and we left.
Yeah.
In this case, we were going to stay the night and we would have to find food for ourselves and fend for ourselves. Yeah. And it was fine. We
never actually found food for ourselves.
Well, no, but we fended for ourselves pretty much because we had to get the taxis for ourselves and head over there, figure out which way we were going, order the taxi to get back to the bus terminal the next day. Everybody was helpful. The taxi drivers we had were explaining things. Like our ride there at one point, we didn't want to be the typical tourists who fall for the trap of like getting driven around in circles.
Yeah.
And getting overcharged. So while we were following along on the GPS, Cubs noticed that the guy was driving away from where our hotel actually was. And he just pointed it out to me. So I casually asked the driver, hey, our hotel is kind of in the other direction you're going to. Are you sure you know you're going in the right direction? And he explained how it was like a one-way street and he had to circle around to get onto it. Right. Everybody was super nice, even the hotel driver who took us to the airport today, or the bus terminal today. Just conversed with us and answered my question about what the stadium was we were looking at.
Yeah.
But yeah, you guys don't care about that kind of stuff. Well, you should care about that kind of stuff because a lot of you who I invited are now saying you should have came on the trip. And yes, you should have came on the trip. Yeah. But yes, let's
talk about it. But I was the only sucker to fall for Rob asking to go on the trip. So
right.
I think that says a lot about the people who are on this podcast.
Spoiler alert, the last podcast of the trip will have Cubs saying he's never coming back again, just like all the other ones.
I'm never leaving my house again at this point. I'm never leaving any place that has decent internet. That's a problem today, but we'll get to that later.
I'm a bad influence because just before this podcast started, I showed him a poster of a show, the Galley Show, that's next Sunday, saying, oh, look, you'll have more lucha to get to by the time you get back home.
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere. So the show was supposed to be 8:30, but the bus arrived later than they were expecting into Yucatero. So it started about 9, I think, a little bit after 9.
Just about after 9. They did the annoying Primera Yamada, the guy would yell into the microphone. Yeah. And that means that the show's going to start, but that's just the first call. Then there's the second call. Then you know it's finally starting at the third call, so I was just waiting for that.
Okay, as a professional person who has been involved in the running of wrestling shows, is there a reason that music is turned up so loud that you cannot have a conversation with the person next to you? Is there this will get people to go to the concessions, or this will get people not to start yelling at the ring because they're waiting so long?
Honestly, I think in this case it was like a building issue, because this is a very smallish building, and it echoes a lot. So when you're blaring music and speaking into the microphone, you don't have to be yelling because we're going to hear you. Yeah. But whoever was doing the announcing and playing the music had the music turned up all the way. Mm-hmm. And was yelling into the microphone. So it was so loud. We were right next to each other and we couldn't say anything to ourselves while they were doing the intros.
Yes.
That was my one complaint about the presentation.
Yeah. How many people would you say were at the show?
Well, we disagree on that because I'm pretty sure they hit 1,000.
I think it was a little bit less than that. Because there was no one. There's a third level that no one thinks about because we haven't seen people up there in the both shows we've gone to.
Right.
I'd say maybe a couple hundred under that. I don't remember at all what Memes or whatever they were
drawing. It was Chilangas at the time, yes.
Was drawing. I think they probably expect a little bit more, but then this is also an area that's got CML came last weekend and AAA game earlier this month. Was that?
And this was the only card on the tour this week that doesn't have Ray on it.
Right.
So it was definitely considered the lesser show.
Yeah. And there did not seem to be as much media as the Monterey show, for sure.
This just seemed because they run shows in this building every Tuesday.
No, they've cut down on the mom shows.
They've cut down on those?
A lot.
They used to run shows every Tuesday.
I think that's why Max Mo was so over in the main event, because he was the guy that people saw have seen here in a lot of shows. Mm-hmm. But they do not run nearly as often this arena as they used to. I don't think they have the regular promoter at this point.
And when they do, it's like the it's like a no-name crew.
Yeah.
It's just like local dudes around the area. Reiko Mehta's son, actually, he pointed out his son actually had his first training session
yeah.
at Arena Querétaro this week. So.
And how old is Reiko Mehta's son?
2 years old.
Yes.
So don't get your hopes up, everybody. There's still about 10 years before he turns pro.
Yeah.
They started with the tag match.
The trios match.
The trios match with Astro Lux, Arcángel Divino, Black Boy.
Nope.
I'm wrong already. Okay, you go. You're fishing.
I have it up in the
All right, Torito Negro. I got that
wrong. Astrolux, Pegasu, and Torito Negro. This is Pegasu from AULL.
The one that was in AAA for a cup of coffee?
Yeah, who's Pegasu Fast on Facebook, I believe. Versus Latigo, Tiago, and Black Danger. And this was the small, fast guy team against the guys who could base for them pretty well.
Yep, which was evident because this match was pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah, Astrolux did his usual really big spots this early on, and those jumped out at me. They gave Torito Negro some time later on. This was mostly just the three technicos doing a lot of flashy stuff.
Yeah, Latigo is super underrated and just like an amazing addition to this crew specifically because he's a great base. And he can control these type of matches with the young guys. Like, he was specifically in this match, basically for Torito Negro. He was basing for him, making him look good, and taking all his big spots. And you need a guy like that if you want these young guys to be able to do what they can do.
Well, Latigo and... We saw Tiago and Black Danger's regular, and Astrolux is now at this point pretty much a regular.
Mm-hmm.
Latigo and Pegasus are like... They've scoured pretty deep because they're the death guys who only show up when they're running around Mexico City or running with and someone can jump in the car and, from Mexico City. And they're pretty handy to be able to go that deep. They didn't need to find someone local to fill in these spots. They had people they relied on that they could bring in. So they've got a pretty good idea of all the people they can bring in, I think, at this point to be able to pull those names.
Whoever's doing the scouting is doing a good job.
Yeah.
Torito Negro is Flamita's cousin, actually. Who's only 16 years old.
Yeah.
So he's already looking good. Like, he's going to be really good when he gets more experience and, of course, gain some... I mean, he's smaller than Astrolux, and Astrolux is super tiny.
Yeah. Astrolux's mask stayed on the whole match this time, which was an improvement.
I like that. Tiago was good, too. I should mention that. The big spots were... Besides the usual opener stuff with all the crazy fast arm drags and head scissors, was a triple dive spot where it looked like Astrolux killed himself. He clipped himself on the top rope and went straight down.
Yeah.
But they ended up okay.
They had an ambulance at the show, and I noticed that the medics came right over thinking they were going to get someone to check on right after Astrolux's dive.
But he popped up. I mean, when at that age, at that size, you usually do. Mm. And then later on, just to prove that he was okay, he literally stood on the ring post and did a rana to the floor on Latigo, which was, I was honestly thinking with the turnout that they would kind of not do their big spots.
The turnout, and because they had been going, I mean, especially the guys who had been on the Northern Mexico swing had gone from the Nuevo Laredo, finished that show up, and we're not sure if they stayed overnight at all. They might have just driven right back to Monterey to get on that flight.
It's possible. There was a lot of traveling going on, so they had all the reason in the world to just take it easy tonight, and they did not.
Yeah.
He did a head scissors before, and Torito did his big corkscrew dive that, if you've watched him on the indie scene, you know that's what he's known for. Mm-hmm. And the finish was Tiago pinning...
Pegasus
with his... I think it was a German suplex.
Yes, that's his finish, so, yeah.
Really good match, really hot opener, crowd threw money, very, very much deserved. And basically a standing ovation. They all raised each other's hands afterwards, and everyone survived, even with all those crazy spots. Yeah. Just a total blast of a match. And this is partly why I was so excited for this Crash Tour, because every match, every show is basically starting with a match like this.
The second match, do you want to see if you could remember that one?
That one I think I do remember now by process of elimination would be Mascarita Dorada, yeah. Black Boy, yeah. And their partner was... Oh, wait. Oh, God. The Rudo team, I know for sure, was Demus.
It's late.
Ultimo Maldito. Okay. Wait, no. Yeah, so you got... I forget the other two. It's the usual pairing, though.
It was Archangel Divino, Black Boy, and...
Right.
And Mascarita Dorada versus Hijo del Pirata Morgan, Demus, and Ultimo Maldito.
I forgot Pirata because he wasn't in Monterey.
Ultimo Maldito, you could identify him at the airport because he was the only person wearing an Ultimo Maldito shirt.
Yeah, way to give it away.
Yes. Your secret identity was just might have been revealed by yourself. And he also got a Mephisto chant during the match, which I was very amused by.
Because his mask, yeah. And he had the face paint deal going on where he looked exactly like Mephisto, when Mephisto dresses as himself and not as a comic book character.
Yeah. This was another good match. I'm blanking on some of the details of.
Which I'll fill in. See, I don't know the names of the match. I just remember the spots.
Yes.
This is how my brain operates. They did a lot of cool stuff early on. Mascarita did his satellite head scissors super early into the match.
It was like Archangel did one version of his head scissors, and then Mascarita came in to top that.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, Archangel did the super version of his head scissors.
Which got amazing reactions. Like, these guys are going to be at WrestleCon. Or that's the plan as of right now. If they show up at WrestleCon and you guys aren't there, it's your loss. Because these guys, in front of a new audience, like me and Cubs, we've seen these spots before. And they blow us away.
And it was nice to see them from the third row. But
yeah, imagine your first time seeing these spots. I remember my first time seeing these spots and just my jaw hitting the floor. In front of a whole audience of hardcore wrestling fans seeing this, it's going to be electric. The turning point in this match, in the middle of the match, was both Black Boy and Arcángel went for topes and got caught on the shoulders of Pirata and Maldito, who threw them into the crowd right in front of us, which led to the Rudo beatdown, where they did a lot of funny stuff where they would spin Mascarita around one by one and then he would be all dizzy. And then they triple super kicked him, which led to Culero chants from the crowd.
Yeah.
They did a bunch of cool combo offense. Pirata's really good. He has some nice stuff. He's not super charismatic. I think that's the one thing that might be holding him back. Would you agree?
Yeah. I think he does good stuff if you're looking for him, but he doesn't do enough stuff to make you look for him, I guess.
And in a promotion where there are a lot of other Rudos who have cooler offense and are more... Like, Demus is all charisma.
Yeah.
He's a fine worker and everything, great base, but his charisma is just unbelievable, even when you're riding on the bus.
Yes.
He was the victim here of the technical comeback because he tripped while he was running the ropes, and the technicals all came back. We had more stuff where each guy would do a move and it would get broken up, which is where Arcángel Divino did his super La Mística spot, which got an amazing reaction, and I put up on my Twitter and everybody seems to be retweeting, including unfortunately Disco Inferno, which means I have a lot of stupid people on my timeline making comments because stupid people follow Disco Inferno. This led to the big dive spot at the end, of course, where Arcángel Divino did a moonsault onto, I believe, Pirata, and Black Boy did the cannonball backwards dive onto Maldito, and Demus ended up pinning Mascarita clean with the Valaguesa.
Right.
Another match which got money thrown, well-deserved again, great effort by everybody. I was super happy with this show at this point.
Yeah.
And this is where I decided I needed to go use the washroom in this arena.
Yeah.
Which was interesting because the washroom, you have to go through the gate, which leads to the back where the wrestlers are. You have to walk through where any media is doing interviews with the wrestlers. And you have to walk through where the wrestlers are waiting by the entrance to come out for their next match. It's very crowded and just seems awkward. You would think that when they built the arena, they would put the washrooms in a different place and right next to where the wrestlers are coming out.
They didn't think about these things in the 1960s or 40s, whenever it was.
Yes, very, very old building.
the tercera was, instead of having you guess and guess the wrong again, was Sammy Guevara.
No, I'm going to get this one. This is the trios, right?
Yes, it was the trios.
Okay. This is Sammy Guevara, Jack Evans, and Loretto Kid against Mr. 450, Black Taurus, and Bestia.
It's Mecha Wolf.
Mecha Wolf 450. My mistake. But I got the participants right this time because we're running out of people on the show where I can have guesses.
This was, it seemed like it awkward. There's something off early on where they went to a like triple dive cutoff spot and people weren't ready for it. And it was about that time where Jack seemed to like hurt his knee or pull a muscle or something.
He was limping, for sure.
He was limping the rest of the match. He continued the match. He did the moonsault before the end of the match was over. He did the standing moonsault.
And the dive.
And the dive. But you could tell, he was also at one point just laying in the corner of the ring because he couldn't get out of the way. It was been too hard for him to get back in to do the next spot.
Yeah, I'm not even sure where it happened. It seemed like he, in his entrance, he ran around the ring, and did a 450 into the ring, so...
Yeah.
It must have happened at some point, just one of those injuries that just happens when you're, like, running.
Yeah.
Total fluke.
I know those injuries this week, but that's another story. What do you remember from the match?
I thought it was good. It was paced awkwardly, probably because of Jack's injury. I thought Taurus was great. I criminally underrated guy, just like I tweeted. Dude is so good, has such an amazing look that would get over. He has access to the U.S. I don't know why somebody doesn't take a chance on him. He'd be a great base to work with the Young Flyers. And Loretto Kid looked good as usual. Mecha is working really hard on this tour from the stuff we've seen so far. He did a great tope in this match. He has a lot of charisma, gets the crowd into what he's doing. He had a nice combo of kicks, like a knee, a kick, and then a cool DDT coming into the ring off the ropes. Very good match. Kind of, not derailed or anything, just kind of, like you said, with the triple tope spot, it seemed like something they improvised on the spot, had to change things up. And the finish, but Jack did win at the end, right?
No, it was Sammy won.
Oh, Sammy won, yeah, because he did the shooting star press where his feet hit the rope coming down. But he made it over, no problem or anything like that. It was on Taurus, I believe.
I wasn't expecting him to win that match, just not because we hate Sammy.
We do, but yeah.
I was expecting to be something with Jack and Bestia, but this time Sammy got the one.
Attention promoters, you can't keep putting Sammy over. He already has the ego. Yeah. You got to start beating him. He has to go on a losing streak.
Yeah.
Just, I want him to lose every single match from now on that he gets booked on. Yeah. We don't know the results from tonight, so we don't know if they let him win again.
Yeah, we don't know the results from New Wave of Laredo. Someone asked me who won the tag team titles, and I have no idea. I don't know if there was a tag team title match after all.
Nobody had tag titles in Querétaro.
No one had any belts at all, though.
So, who knows?
No one seemed to be throwing a celebration because they knew the Crash Champions on the bus. it's all a mystery.
The next match, if I can remember, was the tag match where it was supposed to be a trios, and this is where we noticed there were changes in the card.
Yeah.
Because this was Shane Strickland and Shane...
Yes, just Shane. One name.
Yep, they didn't announce him as Strickland.
Yes.
And they played his music. He came out, then they stopped the music.
No, they stopped the music. They never played his music. He started coming out.
They were playing it at first. It hit, and then it went off.
Yeah.
That's why he came out, because his music hit.
Yeah.
Then he was just kind of like walking out to the ring with no music, and they restarted it and announced him as Shane.
Yes.
Then Flip Gordon came out to a massive reaction from all the girls in the crowd.
Yes.
This guy is loved by females.
Yes.
And they took on Flamita and Ultimo Ninja.
Yes.
In a match that, I'll let you go, but it started weird, right?
It started with Shane and Flip tagging each other in about six times, and just driving Flamita insane because they were just being stupid. And Flamita demonstrated that he's picked up some English by the end of it.
He dropped about three fuck you bombs.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All towards Flip.
He gave them the bird after the last time they did the tag.
Yep.
And it was just Strickland and Gordon playing just annoying Naruto for the entire match. And it worked. It gave them a stronger direction than it would have had if it was just a technical overstep in the match. Excuse me. It seemed to be. Strickland and Gordon, I mean, I wouldn't say they goofed around. They did some comedy, but they were just trying to... They were guys having fun while actually doing their match and annoying Ultimo Ninja and Flamita. And Flamita did a much better job responding than Ultimo Ninja. Ninja is like Perata Morgan in that way, where he's technically very good. I think he's technically better than Rudo's Technico, but I've said that like 5 times now. But he does not really show a lot of emotion as a Technico.
But he's very good technically as a wrestler.
Yeah.
He's just not on the Garza Jr. level, so to speak, of charisma.
No, maybe he needs to be on a reality show and I'll start helping him.
But this was very good match for like a live audience. This was perfect. The crowd was biting on everything, laughing at all the little things they did. I was super impressed by how they did it, because on the Crash show, we have enough matches, as we've described already, where everybody's just doing move, 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 spot, spot, spot. Yeah. This was more slowly paced, building up to reactions, teasing moves for later, nice cutoff spots. Yeah. I want to say it was more of like a Japanese-style match.
Yeah.
But not really. It was more of a mix of a Japanese-style match and a Lucha-style match.
Yeah.
Which is super impressive for guys who aren't in Mexico very often, like Shane and Flip.
I think my impression this was the longest match of the night. That went about 20 minutes. Yes. Not because they were going full bore the whole time, because they were slowly building up, and they spent time making Flip and Frickle and the Rudos. And then by the end, it wasn't also that they were also just screwing around the whole time or anything like that. There was a lot of action by the end of that match.
Yeah, everything was laid out perfectly. They did a lot of cool spots where it went from one guy's move to another guy's move. It wasn't like you noted in previous matches. They would do a move and a kick, a breakout or a kick out or whatever.
Yeah.
Here it was move to move to move. Like they all knew where to be. Mm-hmm. Perfect positioning. They did a big apron spot near the end of the match. They did a cool sequence where one of the Rudo, I think Flip went, no, Shane went for a plancha and Ultimo Ninja caught him. And then Flip went for a Frankensteiner and he had both of them in the air at the same time. Dropped them both, cool power spot, and then Flamita hit a 450 for an incredible near fall, which soon after led to the finish, where Strickland gave Flamita or Ultimo Ninja. I think it was, who took the, no, it was Flamita, a Death Valley driver on the apron, no, Ninja, a Death Valley driver on the apron, did a double stomp in the ring, then did a dive to the floor, and then Flip won the match with his twisting stunner off the ropes.
Right.
And came down and got the clean pin. The girls were very happy. Some of the fans were booing because they liked Flamita more. But just, I'd give this, if you want to go by the star system, which a lot of people do, 4 stars, 4.25 stars.
Yeah.
But for me, match of the night, probably the best match of the Crash shows we've seen so far here.
Yeah, I think so.
Yep.
I think this is a match. I think they were in just the perfect mood and perfect level of tiredness to do this kind of match, but it'd be a match that would be good to see repeated someplace else if they could have that chance.
Yeah, this is just another example. Plug your ears if you don't want to hear more bearing CMLL, where Flip would never be able to have this type of match in CMLL because he wouldn't have people to face who care that much about having a good match.
Yeah.
So it was nice to see him actually here working with people who wanted to work, and clearly he wanted to work. Strickland was great. Strickland's been great the whole tour. I don't think he's staying for the full tour.
No.
And I'm happy with the way the match, whoever was putting together the show and changing things up on the fly, changed it for the best.
Yeah, because was this the one who was supposed to be Elsa in this one?
It was supposed to be a trios. They had Loretto Kid in this match, and I think 450. It was 450. It was definitely a trios match. I remember that much because
it was supposed to be. Am I looking at the right lineup? This was supposed to be War Machine and Keith Lee versus Flamita, Flip Gordon, and Ultimo Ninja.
No, but they just turned that into a trios. This was supposed to be with Technicos, I thought. Because like, where's
Flip? Because they put Flip was supposed to be with Flamita and Ultimo Ninja, but they pulled.
They pulled War Machine and put them because they had the extra girls, so they turned that into the trios. Okay.
Yeah.
So they basically just tossed Shane Strickland into this match.
Yeah.
And just took Ultimo Ninja off, or Flip Gordon off the technical team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, change for the best. The one thing, as we pointed out, with all these Crash shows is same talent group, but they're putting them in different combinations. And like you noted to me earlier, Cubs.
It helps with the creativity. When you're not doing the same match over and over again, you are coming with guys with this kind of interest, they're going to come up with different kind of matches, and some stuff may not work, some stuff is going to be turned out pretty good, and this was a match that turned out pretty good.
It's different than when you're working the same guys night after night after night. You get bored and you're just going to go through your same sequences over again.
Yeah, you're just trying to perfect a moderately good match that you can keep everyone happy with. We're here, people are trying to see what could we do in the situation.
Yep. Next up was it the three-way trios?
Yes.
This one should be easy enough. It was Phoenix, Daga, the Rebellion guys, with Kayra.
Yeah.
Against War Machine, an honorary War Machine member for the night, Lacey Lane.
Yeah.
Against Christy Janes, who was out with Brian Cage and Willie Mack. Yeah. We'll call them Team California. Just those two.
Those two, okay.
It was an interesting mix.
I thought Brazil moved or something.
Well, Christy came out to Zumbi's music, because, you know, Brazil.
Yeah, every wrestler from the Brazil just gets stereotyped. It's an unfair practice that we need to stop right now.
But she did good. She was dancing to the music, you know, very charismatic. You liked this match better than I did. Not that I didn't like it. I liked it, but you liked it more.
Yeah, this was a match, because they had 9 people, they just kept on going the whole time. And they did different kind of matchups. They did the start thing at the start where Kira wanted to take on both a member of War Machine and Brian Cage at the same time, which didn't end up happening, but that would have been fun.
Bad idea.
But with that many people, there were just people cycling in and out. They did some serious hitting people hard, some of them, 2 people by slamming 1 person spots. They did the Willie Mack stunner. Everything went a different way than you would have expected at the end, but the crowd loved the finish to that sequence. Kira kicked people very hard in the face.
She drop kicked the fuck out of Lacey Lane early on in the match.
Yeah,
but Lacey took it like a champ.
Willie Mack got hit drop kicked by her pretty hard too. I think Cage was able to evade most of the damage. What else happened? Daga has a. This is the first show we've seen on a tour of Daga.
He was busy on this weekend, according to his Instagram and his Twitter posts. He was in his first bodybuilding competition.
Yeah. So I don't remember if he was in New Wave Laredo, but. And in this show, he had like a big shoulder brace thing on.
Mm-hmm.
And he was fine when he was in, but he was not as big a part of the match. I think Phoenix, too, you know, this was not totally into it, but he did get a few of his trademark stuff in. The crowd was more into War Machine, Cage, and Mack than what we saw in Monterey.
Yep.
And I think because the match kept on moving, that helped them.
The Rebellion guys were very over in this arena.
Yes,
so.
They were the easily faced team of the 3 teams.
Yep. It was good. It was, like Cub said, they did the spot where everybody gave the stunner, and then Christy finally stopped Willie Mack by giving him the stunner. Then she threatened to do it to the ref. The ref countered and gave it to her, which the crowd popped for when he did it and then booed him because he did it to a woman.
Yeah.
It was an interesting reaction. But the spot got over, so it's worth. You never know if it's going to get over unless you try it out.
Yeah.
Phoenix did. I mean, he was in the match, but he didn't do like normal Phoenix stuff that you'd see.
He did a double stop on the apron, or he tried to do it.
He tried to do it and missed it. He did like a simple dive. And he did a couple of double team spots with Daga, which were cool.
Yeah.
Who's the bigger War Machine? I think it's Hansen.
I think
because Ray Rose, the small. Mm-hmm. Hansen did that spot where they do their double team power slam spot, and then he did a tope onto everybody.
Yeah.
Which was really cool to see, and the crowd popped huge for. They did a funny spot where.
Oh, they did the War Machine normally have that one man body slams the other spot. But they set up beautifully because they biased Lacey first, and I think the crowd thought that was just a spot. And then when it went for an even bigger slam on the other partner, they went nuts. So.
To the bigger one, like Roe did it to Hansen, who you wouldn't expect.
Yeah.
Which led to the funny spot where then Christy wanted to do it to Hansen, no, to Raymond Roe, and she couldn't get him up. So then Kayra got in there, and they both did it to him, which got a big reaction, the 2 girls slamming the guy.
Yeah.
And the finish of this match ended, I believe, War Machine went over.
Right.
They got the win with Lacey Lane. And afterwards, everybody I think there was money thrown for this one, too.
Yes.
They threw money for the previous match, too, by the way. We never mentioned that. But that match was the best match of the night, so obviously.
Yeah.
This one, they threw money, too, and then everybody raised each other's hands, and we got speeches because I believe this was War Machine's last match of the tour.
Yeah.
They came back.
I was almost expecting them to say this was the last match or something, the way they were doing their speech. But
it was just a goodbye to the crash.
Yeah.
And then post-match, one of my favorite moments of the evening, there's no security at these shows. There's nobody at ringside monitoring anything. So what the fans do is after the match, they rush to ringside because they're waiting for the wrestlers to sign, take pictures when they leave the ring. But the fans got smarter as the matches progressed, that some guys would just get out of the ring near the corner where the entranceway is and just run away, get to the back. So now the fans for this match blocked the exit and were all there in a whole group, so you couldn't escape them. You had to go through them. But Hansen, being the smart guy he is, exited the ring, walked up the aisle, and exited through the fourth and between the fourth and fifth row where there was room to leave, and managed to avoid the whole crowd. So, smart points for that.
Yeah. But there was, I think, everyone who attended the show but me took a selfie with someone at some point during the show. By the end of the show, there was a lot of photos.
There's a lot of photos going around, and a lot of pretty girls wanting their pictures with the wrestlers. I did notice that.
Yeah. That left the main event.
Of course, their boyfriends went with them to make sure, you know.
Yeah.
Wait, but I should mention, we forgot to say, before that match, the 3-on-3-on-3, the three-way trios, a whole group of foreigners showed up. Yeah. Just showed up for the last two matches and took seats actually right behind us. Yeah. I'm guessing they paid to get in. They must have paid to get in, but they only came for the last two matches. They must have just been in the area and just heard, oh, there's live wrestling going on. So they showed up, came in, took their seats. They were laughing about, they couldn't believe it was like, the first thing they did was go up to the ring to make sure like the ring wasn't padded or anything. It was just like a hard ring. They didn't seem to know what they were watching, but they were into it.
Yeah.
And after this match is where they demanded to, not demanded, but tried to forcefully push their way through to take pictures with the wrestlers and inside the ring. They were like jumping off the ring into each other's arms. Yeah. Typical tourist behavior.
Yeah.
I'm sure this would happen at Arena Mexico if not for the guardrail.
All the seats in Querétaro, at least in the numbered areas, are like wooden seats that are connected. So they were sitting one row behind us, but we got like the 4DX experience because they were shaking our seats for no particular reason.
Really? I didn't
feel that. I felt it. I was not really happy with those dudes.
They spoke English. You should have said something.
I did.
Luckily, they were only there for basically even 1.5 matches because during the main event, I think they kind of disappeared.
Yeah. The main event started with the Los Gobernables coming out and Maximo, Penta, and Carlito rushed them.
You would think that they would have noticed they were right behind them as they were coming out.
Which, to me, was a great time, because I thought, oh, this match is going to go 7 minutes, and then I can go to the hotel and take a nap.
I remember Cubs telling me, like, right, because Cubs was filming a lot of the show, and he said, I only have space for, like, one more match. Should it be the semi-main or for the main?
Yeah.
And I think we decided, well, we both decided the best would be the semi-main.
Yeah.
But when they sneak attacked them right away, I was like, oh, he'll have time for this main event. It'll probably be like 5 minutes in and out.
Yeah. I had time for about 12 and a half minutes, and I ended up having to pause the video a few times to make it all work. But
so you people won't see that amazing Carlito versus Pierrot exchange.
Yeah. People won't see all the Carlito high spots. Carlito was in the match, and you would not have known it because people were so much into Penta and Maxwell. We're in Monterey, Carlito got a big pop coming out because he's WWE star Carlito. Here, he was...
It was the local guy. Not local, but the natives here, who they see more often.
Yeah.
And like I said, the Rebellion was super over in front of this crowd, so... Bestia was over, too. There were a lot of Bestia t-shirts, which surprised me just because I would expect that in TJ, maybe Monterey, but I don't know why he's so popular in Querétaro.
Yeah. It's a good sign, but it's strange. This was about what you would expect from it. They went a little bit longer. The crowd was very into the idea of Maximo kissing people. He got one on Lom Oscar early, and then I think he got one in, or at least tried to do again later. He got the one on Oscar to start the comeback. Because the technos rushing the ring backfired kind of for them, and they got beat around the arena. The fight people were most interested was, at least I was interested, was Rush versus Penta.
Where they tried to escape their natural habitat by climbing the cage, because in the upper deck is blocked off by caging.
Yeah.
So they tried to climb up it, and they got all the way to the top. You can't get over it.
Yeah, because it bends back towards the ring, so you can't go over the top. It's I'm sure it's there so people don't throw drinks from the cheap area onto the more expensive area.
But it's very common here in Mexico also to separate by classes, like the poor people who can't afford floor tickets.
Yeah, in Cedro, it's a completely separate entrance for the people doing the ground floor and for the people doing the above levels.
It's like that in Arena Mexico too, actually. And also in Arena Coliseo, they have fencing for the upper levels.
Yeah.
This was this was like the, I expected nothing from this match, just like I said, based on the way they came out, and they were just going to rush through it, but they actually did a lot of cool brawling. They threw beers right in front of us. At one point, Maximo knocked a bag of chips into the ring, which went flying.
The remaining chips were in the ring for the rest of the match.
Right. It was funny. Maximo's a good live performer. He was like kicking the chips at the Rudos when they tried to hide outside the ring. Yeah. Carlito did some stuff. Like I said, he was the least over guy on his team, so he kind of gave way to them. Maximo did some stuff. Rush and Pentagon, they did a little stuff, but aside from the brawling, not much in the ring. They're clearly teasing that on this tour. Like, that's the tease. I'm guessing.
Yeah.
That the whole tease will lead to some major show in December where they're facing off in a singles match. I have no idea where it could be, but that's clearly the plan going forward, and they're trying not to give it away.
Well, with that and the Tijuana angle, you think it might be like Rey and Penta versus Rush and Volder or something like that?
Yeah, it could be. They have so many big names and lots of talent on these roster that they could tease it for even longer if they wanted to.
Yeah.
And actually, it must be TJ because they can't do it in Mexico City or Puebla or places like that.
Yeah.
The finish was a low blow where we thought we were going to see the same finish as in Monterrey where Mascara kicked Pentagon low and covered him. Yeah. But Pentagon kicked out at two. Mm. And when Rush La Mascara went to yell at the referee that, like, yo, speed up your count, dude. Yeah. Pentagon low blowed him, rolled him up, got the 1-2-3 to a nice reaction from the crowd. And then we got the beatdown where the Ingobernables stole his mask and kicked the shit out of him.
And Penta talked about coming back with a Super Libre match, which
yep.
I don't know if that's going to happen, but it's a nice thing to end the show with.
Yeah, and we also had Phoenix and Daga running out as Rebellion members to help protect Pentagon, because Maximo and Carlito aren't officially with Pentagon, so there's no reason for them to protect him.
Yeah.
It was a good ending to show back and forth challenges with the Ingobernables and Rebellion, which is the feud you should be building.
Yeah.
And, of course, everybody wanting autographs and pictures with the main event guys.
And that's all I can think about the show. I think we both agree that it was better than the Monterrey show. I think the Monterrey show wasn't bad, but I think...
I enjoyed this one more.
Yeah, this is fun. This was a long trip to make, but it was definitely a trip that was worth... It was really a one-day detour, and it worked out pretty well. So we're glad we did. The bus ride back was no problem.
Yeah, definitely. Well, before we go to the bus ride back, definitely, I agree. That was one of the things when we planned something like this. Like, at one point, I had it in my head to go to Aguascalientes, and if we were going to go to Aguascalientes, I would have not gone to Querétaro. We would have just stayed in Monterrey an extra day. Mm. Or we would have came to Mexico City on Tuesday and just stayed there and watched the CMLL show and gone to Aguascalientes the next day. Mm. But Aguascalientes is like a 5-hour ride, whereas Querétaro is only a 3-hour ride. But it was worth the trip. I mean, couldn't be happier. Following the crash around is really going to get me in trouble with our friend Alan, who's joining us on Friday for the Arena Mexico show, because I'm going to be the most jaded asshole in the world after seeing good wrestling and then showing up in Arena Mexico to see what I presume will be not good wrestling.
You know, I was concerned when we were going to 4 different crash shows that after about 2, I'd be kind of done with wanting to see those same guys so quickly. But they mix it up so much between the first and second show that I'm looking forward to seeing Metepec tomorrow just to see what else they do.
And the lineup for Metepec is really strong on paper, so presuming these guys are holding up health-wise after all these shows.
Yeah.
Plus, I think Metepec will be good because everybody knows on the roster they have Friday off.
Yeah.
So they can do whatever they want, and they have a full day to rest and recuperate.
Seventh day they've run in a row. So that's a hard schedule for anybody.
But usually everybody gets their motivation when they know that, like, the next day they have nothing to do. They can relax. They can sleep all day, hang out, do whatever they want. And technically, I mean, they're not working until the next night, so they have 48 hours off, basically. Yeah. Coming back, we got to the bus station, which was easy and super easy. There's 2 bus stations in Querétaro. We went to the central one instead of the north one.
Yeah.
Getting the ticket was super easy. There are buses that leave to different parts of Mexico City, so you just have to figure out what area is closer to where you're going. And our hotel was, we could have gone to the airport, we could have gone to Centro Norte.
The one thing I didn't realize until after we had this long discussion about this is that the airport probably was always going to be more expensive, because I'm sure there's some airport fees that they tack into for going there. So the Centro Norte is probably the one that if you're going to come back in and you don't need to jump on a plane, you probably want to go to. It's a it's an easy place to get off.
It was like, it was 305 pesos to get there, 393 to get out to the airport.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only 100 pesos difference, basically.
Yeah.
But why would you? It made no sense. So we took the, and you can get them, like the airport ones every half hour, I think. The Central Norte leaves every 15 minutes. So we just decided to book the one for 1 p.m. and just have some time to chill out there and eat something. The bus terminal, you would think like, whoa, Mexico City, small town. Not, bus terminal is going to be disgusting. It was super nice. There was a subway inside there.
Yeah.
They're building a Burger King and a Domino's.
There was a subway inside there. At the rest stop we stopped on Tuesday, there was a Sandway. Sandwichway.
That's where we ate, right?
Yes.
So you don't have to be worried if you're doing a Mexico City tour of, as far as I'm concerned, going to a bus terminal. They're more well taken care of. Even the washrooms are well taken care of because you have to pay 4 pesos to use the washroom.
Yeah.
And we ate there. We got on our bus, which was no problem. The buses are super nice. Cubs said the bus is better than the flight.
Yeah. There's less turbulence on the bus and better seats.
Yeah, our seats were comfortable. There was a TV, which wasn't working. I mean, the TV was working, but the options weren't working. Couldn't figure out the Wi-Fi password. That's the one complaint. But yeah.
We could have asked somebody.
But, yeah, sure. I didn't want to be annoying or anything.
Yeah.
And I had my own internet connection, so it's fine.
Yeah.
Cubs has portable Wi-Fi.
And Cubs had a Nintendo Switch that he finally got to play. Because that was the problem that happened with the Tuesday buses. Somehow, my Nintendo Switch was not powered up, and I was very sad.
But he got to play it the entire way. I passed out at some point, sleeping.
Yeah.
As I tend to do on airplanes, so these rides are super easy for me. We got back to the...
Yeah, the thing that you do not know if you don't ride Mexico buses on Premier Plus is that when you get on the bus that you're supposed to present your ticket to the person who would be the stewardess on the flight, but I don't know if you still call that on the bus or if you could call anyone the stewardess at this point, and then they give you, instead of, you know, giving your, during the flight... drink and food, they just hand it to you when you have handed them the ticket and you go on the bus and that's the end of it. I almost wish they would do that on the flight so we just wouldn't have people going up and down the lines, the aisle the whole time.
Yeah, it's a great concept. It was very professionally done.
Yeah.
I can't say enough good things. It's actually given me the confidence to take the bus more on future trips and go out to smaller places. I don't know how far Guadalajara is.
Yeah, it's about 4 or 5 hours.
That might be my way to get to Guadalajara because that's next on my list of places I still want to visit while here in Mexico. And I want to go back to Puebla because when we went to Puebla, it was only for like 2 hours basically. And 40 minutes of those was at a wrestling show.
Yeah.
I would like to get out there during the day and explore a bit. I don't want to see an Arena Puebla show. That's the funny thing.
Yeah.
I went out there the first time we went there just to see an Arena Puebla show. Now that's the last thing on my mind. Maybe we'll get out there and go see a Chairo show. Oh, no, I guess we won't. Well, I won't.
Anyways.
In case you're all wondering, I am banned from Chairo shows because if you speak bad and actually tell the truth about Danny Ledesma's shows, he tells you not to go. So for any Americans out there who are thinking of going to his shows, you have to love them or you won't be invited back. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just putting that out there.
It's 1:13 and I'm getting tired. I need a follow-up, but I don't have one. So today we got to Mexico City. We checked in to our hotel. We like Hotel Sevilla, except it has terrible, terrible Wi-Fi.
Oh, this Wi-Fi is pissing me the fuck off. Especially after we had such good Wi-Fi in this tiny place in Querétaro.
Yeah, yeah.
And in this hotel that's rated a star lower than this one is.
Yeah. I don't understand it at all, but that's the way... The good thing about being in Mexico City now is the rest of the shows, we have a lot of time to get to them. We have pretty much the full day tomorrow, full day Thursday before heading out to Metepec, where we're taking a bus, we think.
We're taking a bus.
Yeah, we are taking a bus,
yeah.
We think. To Metepec.
Why do we think? We are.
Okay.
There's no other way to get, I mean,
we
could
until
take.
We get on the bus. We haven't taken the bus yet.
All right.
In theory.
We met Black Terry Jr. today. We got to the hotel.
Yeah.
We went out to eat with him, catch up on things.
Played some good Mario Kart.
Talked him into coming to Metepec because he didn't want to come in the first place. Then we told him our idea is we're coming back by taxi or Uber.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have to worry about being stuck out there until about 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Because unlike us, he actually has work the next day.
He's actually a responsible adult. It's unlike us idiots.
Yep. And also, he's kind of sick of Lucha Libre because he goes to so much.
No.
He'd rather not travel all the way unless there's a reason for him to go do that. The Metapack show looks really good on paper. I'm excited for it.
But that's my point is we don't have to do, we're not leaving to that show until like almost evening. We have the Friday night show, which is, you know, the 8:30 start. We have the late start from the Cop On and the XMW show, which says on the fly you're starting at 5, which may mean 7:30. This is XMW. So
I'm hoping not. Please, if you're listening to this from XMW, if you could start at around 6, that'd be good for me because I don't want to have to be in a rush if I don't need to be in a rush afterwards to catch my flight.
So I guess assuming I have all this time in the afternoon and the morning, I might actually write something for the website at some point if the internet allows me.
I wonder if we go back down to the lobby, we can get better Wi-Fi. Or if we go up to the roof. Yeah, the roof might have the best Wi-Fi.
Watch that they've closed off the roof or something, and it'll be very sad.
It's weird. You're the technical guy. You should be explaining to me why the Twitter loads slow, internet loads slow, but I was watching YouTube HD video, and it was streaming fine.
Because they block things. Oh. Or they slow things down.
That's weird. You think YouTube would be slow. Like, they would just let you load a web page and not YouTube.
This podcast is pro-net neutrality. Okay, for the three people who get that.
I went crazy today while we were walking. I thought I saw Kamaitachi in a restaurant eating, and I tweeted about it.
No.
But it turns out it was not Kamaitachi after all.
No.
Like 10 minutes later, somebody informed me that no, Kamaitachi's not here in Mexico. So no. My bad, everybody.
Yeah.
It's a lot of travel.
You were distracted by the hostess out front.
Oh, man, the hostess was super fucking hot.
Whoever did the job of hiring this person and putting him out front was a good idea because that's the person would catch your attention and you'd go on to actually want to stop to talk to her. And if it got you into the restaurant, that would be a bonus.
I don't give a fuck what they're serving there. I'm gonna eat it if she's taking me to my seat and is gonna be my view the entire time. Seafood, Thai food, I don't care. Feed it to me.
Okay. Is there anything about wrestling that we need to talk about?
No. Nothing on CM Informer. They just talked about the Legends show. Yeah. They announced Solar and Black Terrier's names.
Yeah.
The Super Pinocchio's, no, Super Raton, Super Muneco. Ryo's coming back, Connect. Atlantis is listed, which would be his return match.
Yeah. That show sounds so dire.
Oh my God. Cubs actually asked me, what if that show was this week while we were here? And I told him, well, I'm not going. I don't know about you, but if you and Alan wanted to go, fantastic. Right. I would find another place to be. Even if it was no show, I think I would pass on going to Reign of Mexico on a Friday night. Yeah.
We might have found another show going Saturday, now that I think about it.
Oh, yeah. Black Terry showed us a picture. It's a free show about 4 blocks away from Reign of Mexico.
Yes.
And it's got a lot of names. It's got like Fuego, Virus, Super Astro Jr., and then a bunch of guys who work like the Saturday Arena Coliseo openers.
Yeah. A lot of guys who are trainee, or it's probably someone's class.
Yeah, it's got Fiero, Sonic. Now I'm blanking on other names, but all guys you would see on listed as working those Arena Coliseo openers. So I'm looking forward to it. Maybe Ulises Jr. will make an appearance.
Yeah, we hope so. What else? I can't think of anything. This is one of the shorter podcasts, so I feel like I should be thinking of things, but I can't think of anything.
Tomorrow's going to be another example where we finish a show and we can't do a review the same day, so.
Yeah.
We might just put it off to, well, we have no choice but to put it off to the next day. We could be annoying fucks and do it on the ride back, but that would be shitty.
Also, I have no idea where you're listening to this with the internet so bad. This may take 3 days to upload. So I hope you enjoyed listening to this whenever you did. You got anything else or should I just hit stop?
I've got literally nothing else. I am ready to kill the hotel for this terrible Wi-Fi.
Yeah. We will talk to you sometime from now that is not now. Thanks.